Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. And like always, another day, God is good, and He is mightily moving by His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God loves us. God is love. He is pure love. The more we understand that, the better off we'll be. And the more we love others, the more we can realize that He loves us. And remember, faith works by love. We have to learn more about the love of God if we're going to master living by our faith. You do, as a man of God, as a child of God, and as a woman of God, we as His people, we never have to settle for less. We never have to accept no for an answer. When God said we can have it, we can stand on it and believe Him for it, and we can have it. If there's ever a case where He tells us something that we may be praying for somebody's healing, for instance. I've heard others talk about this, and I had it happen to me before. I was about to pray for my friend's healing, but I said, Lord, how am I going to pray about this? He said, I'm going to save him, and I'm going to take him home. And He said that before I prayed for his healing. Another friend of mine, he said the same. His brother was sick, and he was going to pray for him, and the Lord stopped him. He said, this is as close as he'll be to me. Let him die. Let him come on home. Now, that's wisdom. The promise of healing is still there. We have every right to believe God for healing, but when it comes to people, stick with believing the promises of God in their case unless the Lord explains something to you, and then do what He explained. The Lord will give us wisdom and insight for our lives. So you have to, you know, give Him room to instruct you right. But the promises are yours. You have to activate the promises. If the people that somebody you love may be sick, it may look impossible to get them healed. You may have never seen anybody get healed of this problem. Something bad like Parkinson's disease or something, anything, a severed spine. The word of God didn't say that by His stripes we are healed for easy things. It said, for by His stripes we are healed, period. Healing is healing. If your body's broken, even if you're missing an eyeball, you have every right as a child of God to stand on that promise and believe God for that missing eyeball. If you can believe Him, you can have that eyeball back. There is creative miracles and reconstructive miracles. Jesus paid for it when he took on those whips from the Roman soldiers. Your healing is totally paid for. And many people are going to ask the Lord in heaven, how come you didn't heal Him? He said, I did heal you. It's up to us to believe His word. And that's where the challenge is. Canaan land was always there, but they had to possess it. Your healing is already there. You got to possess it. You got to take it. You got to do it by faith. Now, healing is something you don't have to work for. You don't have to earn it. You just have to believe for it because Jesus did the work. And then after we get healed, sometimes we just have to change our lifestyle. Sometimes the way we, our habits is what's killing us. Eating the wrong thing. The Lord can heal you again and again, and He can restore your body back to health. But why keep tearing it up in the first place? He does expect us to use wisdom, just like He expects us to learn to use our faith. And that's reasonable. Now, if you've been taught wrong and you don't believe all these things, you remember, it's always, you got to stick with the word of God more than what the common things people preach. In the church, remember, every preacher is under attack and challenged by the world system, just like you are. And we preach according to our faith. We receive the blessings of God according to our faith. And sometimes we may have the faith, but we also may have doubt. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is the power that works in us? Because one scripture said we have these things according to the power that works in you. All right. I said, what is the power that works in us? He said, that's the sum, S-U-M, of what you believe. You take the word of God you've trained, you studied and trained in, the way you've been taught, the way you see things, the way you understand things, and that includes your doubts and your unbelief. Now you sum it all up. Now that's your strength. So in order to get the strength for what you want, you're going to have to study the word of God until it drives out the doubt and all the unbelief and all the wrong training you've taken in. Just like, now this is the first example God gave us of this. The Israelites, the Hebrews, were supposed to drive out the Canaan land so the land would be clean and free of witchcraft and debauchery and sorcery and just sin itself. And then they were supposed to take time and learn the word of God so that they could walk in it. Now, if they had done it that way, miracles would have always been happening in Israel. But they allowed those people to stay, so they were very limited in what God could do. And the only miracles they saw was the miracles that God did to keep covenant with Father Abraham and a few people that believed him. And that's a sad thing. That's a sad situation. The only miracles they saw were the miracles that were required for God to keep his word to Father Abraham and a few people that just believed him. And some of them were foreigners. Now, in your life, there's no limit to what you can believe God for. And sometimes, in order for God to do his perfect will, he has to train people and get them on board with him. And he's going to help you live beyond what you've been taught. Now, that's why he gave me these steps. The last two broadcasts, I went over them. And he instructed me to go over them again, but break them down a little more. In order to finish the vision God gives you, you must believe God, honoring him by your faith. You must believe God, honoring him by your faith. And you can't always depend on other people's faith. And if people help you and they're in faith about it, thank God, receive the help and go forward. But always, my friend, always be ready to stand alone. You have to, because once you start depending on other people, they might drop the ball when you need them the most. But when they can help you, thank God for every time they help you, and thank them too. Because we all need help doing God's work. But to finish, be relentless. Relentless means you're not going to let anything stop you. That's what being relentless is. You're going to find a way and make it happen. So in order to finish the vision of God, you must believe God, honoring him by your faith. Don't forget to honor God. Don't think it's just you, because that's not true. If I do a perfect work, I always remember I'm not a perfect man. But God is just using me like a tool. Now, I'm a mechanic by trade. I use tools all the time. I have tools that I use for certain things. I have favorite tools. I have new tools and old tools. But the ones I know I can count on, those are the ones I use the most. Be the kind of person God can count on. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and whatever you need in your personal life, it will be added to you. Now, healing is already provided. You don't have to be sick. And when Paul listed all the troubles he went through, he did not list a sickness because he did not get sick. And his eyes were not bad. Now, in order to finish the vision God gives you, you must love God more than the vision or your success or what you're after or what he's after. Even though God is after something great and he's going to use you to do it, you got to love him more than the work that he's doing through your life. Faith looks to God. Faith don't look to others, and it don't look to the work that God does. It doesn't look at the result. It looks at him. And he will cause you to, he's always first. He will cause you to win. He will give you the format. Sometimes people, they shift their eyes off God and start looking at the format and try to use the format and the success God give them to look good in the eyes of man, and they fall. And they fall far short from what God was going to use them to do. Now, what they've already done may be very impressive to men, but God knows better. He knows what he was going to do in their life. And when they stand before him, they're going to have to give an account why they stopped. And you don't want to be in that situation. God loves us, but he don't play. And he rewards those who diligently seek him. So we need to be diligently seeking him. Not because we don't want to be in danger, but just because it's the right thing to do. More people are going to live if you do. So the second thing was, you must love God more than the vision or your success. The third thing is, you, in order to finish the vision God gives you, you must trust the Lord completely throughout the whole process. Never let anything distract you. So many people have good situations and the enemy distract them and they get off course, they get angry, they shift jobs, they come out worse. They do things they shouldn't do, they say things they shouldn't say. They end up getting divorced when they don't have to. They become impatient, short-sighted, because they stop trusting God's word along the way of their successful process. Now, they were doing great if they had just continued. If they didn't let Satan get them off balance, they would have done fine. But they looked at something Satan was wiggling before. They took the bait. The bait don't have to be something. It can be anger. It don't always have to be something that you would be greedy about or be lustful about. He can get you off balance with anger. If somebody you respect don't believe in you, it's like all the air comes out of your balloon. And you start looking at the worst situations instead of what's right. And along the way, along the process of following God and going forward, there are many challenges that cause what you're doing not to look perfect. Stick it out, because we're going to look at what happened to Joseph. His life did not look perfect. And we already got him to the point where he was before Pharaoh. But he went to jail. He was 17 years old when he went to Egypt. He was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. So what we need to do now is understand that just because you're doing God's work, things will not always be the way you want it to be. People won't always help you, and they're not going to understand. Now, some people may understand, and sometimes your encouragement will usually come by people who are speaking under the anointing, and they'll prophesy what God needs them to prophesy to build you up. But I said in the last broadcast, the same person in a common conversation, when they're not speaking under the anointing, they may tell you not to do it. Because they don't have, remember, this is something that most people have not known. When we operate under the anointing, we're operating in an unlimited way. The Lord is using us. He's not using our intelligence at all. He uses our ability to speak, but he's given us what to say. And it comes out right, and it makes us look smart. Because I've had people ask, well, what school did you go to? I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. Even if you, and I did go to some, I took some classes. But that's not how I'm able to do it. When the anointing is on me, he can make things come out perfect. Because that's God's ability. There's greater vision in what he's doing than what I'm capable of. Now, when I'm not operating under the anointing, I'm back to thirsting. A limited man. So you have to understand, sometimes the people that will encourage you under the anointing, they can't do it on their own. That happened because God was working through them. So don't go around asking people their advice all the time. Ask the Holy Spirit and look to him, and he'll use whoever he wants to. And sometimes the people he uses may not even be educated. They may not have even finished elementary school or high school. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. They may not even understand what they're talking about, but the Holy Spirit will cause them to say what you need at a strategic time, and thank God for it. So we must, in order to finish the vision God gives us, we must trust the Lord completely throughout the whole process. Every time you have a problem, go ask God questions. Always look to him as your first resort and also as your last resort. If you're not satisfied with what you've learned, go back and learn some more. Study his word, pray his word, confess his word over your life. Because you got to speak this thing in the operation. I don't just take for granted that I'm going to be dedicated. I speak it. I speak that I love God's will more than mine. I love God. I will do all that's in his heart so that when he reveals things to me, I absorb it and I receive it so I can use it. And so since I know I got to do things for him, some things I don't even plan to do. I build my personal life around him. Because that's seeking first the kingdom of God. On Sunday, I'm going to church, and I help teach Sunday school, so I got to be there to teach it. Unless he has me to go somewhere else, that's where I'm going to be. And I don't just up and leave. I do what I have to do. That's, you just have to do it that way. You have to be faithful. Faithfulness is not an accident. And then I work a lot. My work is very demanding. So I have to manage everything. But people that know me, they know not to bother me on Sunday. Okay, anyway. In order to finish the vision God gives you, you must hear him out. If you don't hear him out, you're not going to trust him when you need to. Like I said in the last broadcast, it's hard to trust somebody you do not know. And you have to get a firm understanding of what it is he wants you to do and why. And receive as much information as he'll give you. And be faithful with whatever information he gives you. Because my track record with him, he don't tell me everything. He tell me, whatever he tell me is enough for me to be obedient. And I learn why later. And then when everything's smooth and I've done what he wanted me to do that time, I go back and think about it so the next time I'll be ready to obey him. We become skilled at operating in faith as we trust him, as we learn to trust him. So in order to finish the vision God gives you, You must hear him out, noticing his voice over the voices of unbelief and doubt. Sometimes you expect doubt and unbelief to come from maybe your friends. But your family, you expect them to be on your side in God. And I tell you one a step closer, that your church family, you expect them to be on your side in God. But remember, a vision is something that God gives you personally that you got to do. He didn't give it to them. He gave it to you. And sometimes you just got to do it because that's what God said do. And do it the way God said do it. Now, they mean well. So don't get in strife with people that tell you not to do or tell you to do it differently. They're just trying to help. And their advice is always within the scope of their personal vision. But see, the vision of the anointing is unlimited like God is. So when God tells us to do something, it's impossible. But even though our vision is not where his is, if we can obey him, if we can trust and obey him, we can do it. And our mind will catch up later on. You don't have to have vision before you act on what God said. If you got enough faith, because you can't see the end result, if you can trust him if you have faith in what he said and you believe him, you can act on it and fulfill the vision. And you'll be wondering, I did not know that this could happen. And it'll be good and beyond your greatest expectation. So hear him out, noticing his voice over the voices of unbelief and doubt. In order to finish the vision that God gives you, you must enjoy his presence. Receiving revelation from him, protecting your dedication. Enjoy his presence and receive revelation from him, protecting your dedication. When you're dedicated to him, today, Sunday, Saturday, whatever day you dedicated to him, that don't mean 3 days from now you'll be the same way. Unless you decide by your faith that you're going to do this thing and you build your dedication up. Because that's one of the first things he's going to try to do is damage your resolve. You've resolved yourself to do God's work. That means you're dedicated to do it. You intend to do it. You fully intend to do it. You're resolute about it. But if he can stop that, if he can get that out of you, he can get you back in the borderline doubt and unbelief and then compromise. Also, destroy fear. Now, we said earlier how, in the last broadcast, how people don't go as far as they could because of allowances. There are two things, there's something I want to clear up. I started to talk about it in the last broadcast, but I ran out of time. Years ago, the Lord taught me about reserves. That's what people hold back and don't give God. And then in November 2016, he taught me about allowances. Now, allowances are very similar to reserves. I was asking him, how come people don't complete their vision? And it's because of allowances, things that they allow and don't deal with. Just like the Canaanites, the Hebrews didn't drive out all the Canaanites. They let some stay there. Joshua didn't finish the battles and drive all of them out. A lot of them stayed and remained. The Gibeonites made a deal with him. So that meant that they were there and their influence was there and their witchcraft was there and their sorcery remained and their negative influence was there, while the people were trying to grow. Now, it's hard to grow in that situation. So it was with them, and so it is with you. Fear, doubt, unbelief. These are things you got to drive out of your heart. When everything's going good, drive that junk away. Perfect love casts out fear. Receiving God's word will build you up and you'll have faith instead of doubt. Now, unbelief is rejection. That's when you don't want to hear what God has to say. And the only way to get rid of that is to love God's will. So what I do, I confess that I love his will. I confess that I love his people. I confess that I love his word. If you love his will, you won't reject his will. You will embrace it. Now, this is something that's going to happen. God is so bold and he's so wise and he's so full of faith that when you're in his presence, you almost collapse. That's why people fall out at church. Now, when you receive his word, that's how you become. You become like him. So when he give you something to do, instead of you being afraid to do it, you rejoice. If you can get rid of fear, fear can't do anything for you. Worry absorbs the strength that you have. It's a reducer. Fear is a driver. Doubt is a disabler. Unbelief is rejection. So it's more like when they stoned Stephen, they put their ears over their hands over their ears so they couldn't hear the word. And then they stoned him. You don't want to be like them. You want to embrace the logic of God. It's going to be greater than what you could ever expect. And it's going to do more in your life than what anybody expects. Now, when you do things greater than what people expect, it provokes them. Especially siblings that saw you a certain way. Sometimes people, however you were, the way they know you, they don't really want that to change. Or they don't expect it to change. And sometimes they feel smarter than you. Now, this is just human nature. I'm not picking on people. That's not true at all. Sometimes they have great, they may look up to you. When people look up to you, they cooperate better. But when Satan is involved, you can't trust Satan, and Satan always uses what people don't know. So I tell you to prepare for the worst. Not that people are evil. But we are all in a warfare, and he used theatrics. He'll use what people don't know to hinder you. People that you respect, or people that you don't respect to do something to keep you from doing what you're supposed to do. And some people won't ever get themselves together, and they'll always ask you for what you're doing, for your money or your time or whatever, and that takes you away from what God wants you to do.